The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women with your host, Deanne DeMarco. On today's program, you'll meet the next business and entrepreneurial rising star. You'll learn from their successes, challenges, and life lessons to find out what has made them recognized in their fields. Now, here is your host, Deanne DeMarco.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women. I'm your host, Deanne DeMarco. If you are ready to take the next steps to become inspired, motivated, and better equipped for success, stay tuned. We have got two dynamite speakers for you today. My first guest is Sabrina Isherwood, and Sabrina is a senior global marketing and sales executive who has experience in the international and U.S. markets. She has extensive experience in the U.S., Caribbean, Latin America, European, and Asian marketplace. She has worked for companies such as Kraft International, Welch's International, William Wrigley Jr., Cancer Treatment Centers of America. And today, Isherwood is with the fastest-growing chiropractic healthcare organization in the world. And I am so thrilled to introduce you to Sabrina. Sabrina, welcome.
Thank you, Deanne. It's great to be with you.
I am just so excited that you have decided to join us today. What a powerful background you have. I mean, working for companies like Kraft and Welch's and Wrigley, holy smokes. How did you get started?
Well, it was interesting. I worked full-time all through school. Actually, from the time I was 12, I had my first job. But all through my undergrad and my graduate studies, I was working full-time. When I was working on my international MBA, I was actually at General Motors in Pontiac, Michigan. And I was just a lowly sort of data entry clerk in a cubicle and working crazy hours because they allowed me that flexibility, which was perfect for a full-time student. So didn't really care when the work got done. Just, you know, come in when you can around your class schedule or around your homework schedule and get everything done. And when I was getting ready to get my degree and just a couple of weeks out from graduating with my degree, I had the courage to walk down the hall and knock on the door of the VP of International. And I sort of thought that this was special, that, you know, I've got this international MBA. I don't know if you know who I am, but kind of that sort of thing. And he was just a fantastic guy and was, I guess, a little impressed with my naivete and my, my bodacious and courageous demeanor that I would just knock on his door and sort of introduce myself. And I ended up being in their international marketing program and in several short weeks on my way to South America with General Motors. So that was just this a huge sort of, you know, in the right place at the right time. And, you know, he happened to be in his office when I knocked on the door. He probably wouldn't have responded to a post at the same way. And that was really the start of it all, which was, you know, back, I guess, in 1988, after I got my postgraduate degree.
Well, that just shows that you have to take control of your own future.
Right. And then, you got to not be afraid to, you've got a stack of Harvard MBA sitting on his desk, but, you know, I'm here right now.
Right. You know, you've had your experience in the international world as a female executive is, something really to take note of. I mean, there's got to have been some very challenging times that you have faced in working in international markets. Tell us about some of those. How did you break through the boundaries and barriers with some of those challenges?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, both as an American and then as a 6-foot-tall female American, certainly you run into a lot of those barriers. I think that the best advice that I would have on something like that is really just seek to understand that culture. And I don't mean just, you know, in a one-page document that you can download off of the internet, but really get deep into the culture. Find meaningful elements of that culture to really embrace and go deeper into that expertise than anyone would ever expect you to. You know, they're going to expect this American executive to sort of fly in and fly out, take care of business, and then be on their way. And what I would regularly do, and this was advice that I received very early on in my career, but I would go in 2 days early, and I would hit the museums, and I would make sure that I went to, you know, not the sort of touristy types of attractions, but really the rich cultural attractions. I knew where the gardens were, and I had been to the historical monuments, and I had studied their important historical figures. And that allowed me, in conversation and sort of in those warm-up little mixers that you're at with your partners, to speak to things that were near and dear to their heart, and frankly, that they were surprised that I would have taken the time to have that understanding. And all of a sudden, we're connected on a deeper level. And all of a sudden, I know stuff about your writers and about your painters and about your historical figures that you didn't expect me to know. And we're able to sort of have this respect for each other and leapfrog into the relationship more so than we would have done previously. You know, in many cultures, you're immediately discounted because you're a female. So you really, right. You know, you need to come to the table with not only that cultural context, but also certainly the knowledge and the expertise and the intellectual horsepower. So, you know, at the same time, you don't think that you're going to necessarily belly up to the bar with the boys just as you do here in the States. In some cultures, that will work. In other cultures, you have to manage it differently. And I think that just really being super sensitive to that and to those nuances is huge in your ability to be impactful and effective and successful over the long haul.
Wow. You know, I know one of the things that you talk about is personal brand. Mm-hmm. And what does the role play? What is the role that personal brand plays for both the corporate as well as the entrepreneurial woman?
You know, I'm huge on that. I talk about it every single day because I really believe that it all starts and ends with that, and that it's everything because it sets you apart and it allows you to truly differentiate yourself from the competition. I mean, you think about this world that we live in, you think about brands and marketing and, you know, the competitive advantage that you're looking for as an executive in the workplace, as an example, if we just use the workplace as an example. You have to be able to differentiate yourself and really define who you are and what are your unique abilities. So, you know, if you can sum yourself up in a single word or a single concept, you know, people refer to me as the brand savant because I walk it, I talk it, I preach about it, I coach about it, and I can tell you in just a few words, you know, what it is that I can bring to the table. If I'm riding up the elevator and I happen to make a connection, then I'm going to be able to tell you, I'm your go-to girl on X, Y, and Z. And that's what I really encourage individuals to do, to be able to articulate that. And then the flip side of that is to understand how do you come off? Because how I'm intending my brand to be perceived may not be exactly how it's being perceived. I may, you know, think that this is how everybody's thinking about me, but actually, no, Sabrina, they're thinking, you know, X, Y, and Z. So you know, you have to sort of survey your audience and survey the customer of your brand and understand how are other people thinking about me? What sort of impressions am I making on them, whether it's in business or it's your neighbors or, you know. So you have to be top of mind about it, just as any brand manager would be, and really take the time to speak with different people and understand how they perceive your strengths and where they think your power alley is, and then try to speak to that when you're articulating your own brand. And it's, you know, it's everything from your business card to how your resume reads to how you dress. To the language that you use. So what is the word choice that you use? I mean, I've seen people walk into a room and their presence was really quite attention getting until they opened their mouth, and then they ruined it because they don't have a good command. They speak however it is that they speak. And I'm not talking about a foreign language accent. I'm just talking about not really being right. able to command the English language. And certainly, you know, I've seen vice versa as well. Someone can really bring the intellectual horsepower and then be a disaster when you go to break bread with them or you're in a dinner situation. I mean, it's 1,000 details and 1,000 possible opinions that all roll up to make your brand.
So part of building your personal brand is about taking stock and being willing to get honest feedback from others.
Oh, absolutely. And you have to have those confidence, and I would say those confidants at various levels. You know, people who are above you, people who are below you, your peers, and where you can speak frankly and have that sober, honest conversation.
Yeah, because you're right. I mean, how we see the world or how we think other people might see us might be totally different than what they actually see. And part
right.
of that is just being honest with ourselves and saying, okay, how do I come across and what are you seeing? And yeah, and maybe even asking people what your strengths are as they see it.
Exactly, because you might think that you're strong in a certain area, and you know, if you don't understand the competitive benchmark and what other people have worked with, and I've had that situation before where somebody will say, well, you know, I'm a really great writer. And then I look at their writing samples and I'm very honest with them. I say, I understand that you think you're a great writer. I'm not sure who told you that, but I've worked with great writers and this is not great writing. And
wow.
if you want to be a great writer, we can talk about how one goes about doing that. But right now, right here today, you are not a good writer.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of times that's hard for people to hear. So I don't
sure.
think people ask for that feedback.
Well, and you know, that's why you have to be very sincere about wanting to do that. And it's the same in business. I'm very big on, you know, net promoter score, really doing your research with your customer. What was that customer experience like? What was that patient experience like? And if you don't want to hear the brutal truth, then don't ask the question. You have to have, you know, your big boy pants on to really be able to hear that.
Right. So how does one go about, besides asking for feedback, how do you go about building a personal brand?
Well, I think it's just really being present and cognizant about those different elements and certainly making sure that it's all integrated and it's all consistent. You know, how my business card looks and how I dress and how I speak and how I conduct myself is all very consistent. And you have to be mindful of all of those interactions. It's not just how you come across to the CEO. It's also how you come across to the cleaning lady. How do you come across, you know, to the guy who's four levels below you on the chain of command? And how are you helping them and how are you giving back to them? Because it can't just all be take, 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 right?
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. We need to break away for a break here for just a minute. This is Deanne DeMarco, and I'm talking with Sabrina Isherwood, who is the current Chief Marketing Officer for Cairo One Wellness Centers, the fastest-growing chiropractic healthcare organization in the world. We'll get back to you in just a minute.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Family caregivers face some tough challenges every day in caring for a partner, parent, child, sibling, friend, neighbor, or even coworker. You are there to provide the care that these people need after everyone else has gone home. Family Caregivers Unite with Dr. Gordon Atherley will provide you with a social networking experience. You'll hear from experts and others who are experiencing the same things, and together you will promote a common cause. Tune in to Family Caregivers Unite twice every week, Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety and on the Voice America Empowerment Channel every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Have you ever felt that it's time to get out of the box? Why are you putting that project off? It's already there in your mind. What are you going to do today to change your life tomorrow? Listen for Live Your Life with Melissa Brown. Get ready to expand the capacity of your heart and mind. Move yourself beyond the mundane and get prepared to do what you've been called to do. There is no time like the present, and the whole world is waiting for you. Tune in Monday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at DeanneDeMarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Well, this is Deanne DeMarco, and we are with Today's Inspiring Women. Right now, we're speaking with Sabrina Isherwood, who is the Chief Marketing Officer for Cairo One Wellness Centers. And Sabrina, we were talking about personal brand just before the break. And one of the questions that I have is, what do you do if you tarnish your personal brand? How do you fix it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, and it can happen to the best of us. I mean, we see brand disasters in the media every day with products and services, and certainly we've seen brand disasters with individuals as well. And, you know, I really think it's a question of just PR 101, right? Public relations 101. You have to acknowledge the error. And really be specific and demonstrate your compassion, your empathy, and your sincere regret. And then you carefully rebuild. And I think that you really have to be thoughtful and purposeful with every single decision. That's everything from who you align yourself with to how you deliver specific plans or how you receive bad news, right? So don't they say that we see our truest colors in our worst moments? So when things are gray, you know, everybody can sort of be in a positive place with positive energy. But when things are really hitting the fan and, you know, stuff is in the basement, then how are we handling that? How are we behaving and modeling the desired leadership qualities that we want to see in others, you know, when the heat is really on? It's one encounter, one transaction, and one relationship at a time. And each one is important and has to be handled in a branded way. And you know, it's everything from sort of missteps in your career to, you know, missteps at the company party on a Saturday night when somebody had too much to drink. And, you know, so you have to just be very, very intentional and very certain. And I think, you know, be true to yourself, and that's where I would start when it comes to how to repair that.
I've got a question that just came to my mind. Do men versus women, do women have to do things differently around personal brand than men do?
You know, I think that men are more forgiven and easier to forgive when there is a misstep or a violation of the brand within sort of the male ranks, if you will. And females are not as easily forgiven, neither do they as easily forgive. So I do think that the standard is higher, and I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. Is it different? Yes. Are the rules different? My experience is yes. Other people might have a different experience, but my experience is yes.
So is there anything that we need to learn from our male counterparts in the business world?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I hate to make generalizations, but I'm going to make one right now. Historically, I think that men have done a better job of supporting each other, of believing in each other, and of being an advocate for one another. And I think that we as women, we're getting better at that, but I still think we have a long way to go. On the whole, I think that men do a better job of tapping into their competitive spirit, into, you know, they're smart, they're risk-taking, they're collaborative. And certainly a lot of us women are, but I think that men wear that on their sleeve more and they're more comfortable with that. You know, unless you're talking about athletes, I just hired an amazing young woman. And one of the things that I just loved about her, she was this competitive volleyball player. And there was just this different energy about her as soon as she walked in the door. No apologies. I'm competitive and I'll take you down. And she walked through the door with just like full of this great power and energy, and I just loved that. And women rarely wear that on their sleeve the way that men do. I think that men are more confident, and they also they concentrate on what they have versus what they lack, which is I think a great aspect and attribute that women can learn from them.
Wow. So what advice or counsel would you have for women who, in general, who are trying to climb the corporate ladder or just entering the corporate workplace of any size, of any size company?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think you have to bring your best game every single day. And, you know, I think that, and this is going to sound like it's a little bit conflictive to what I was just speaking about with being competitive, because I'm all about, you know, bellying up and being strong and being competitive. But I also think that you have to be kind. And I don't think that you are inherently conflictive. I think you have to be kind to those who came before you, to those who you're transitioning out of the organization. You know, when we come in and we're sort of just making these big changes and we're being bold, you can't forget to sprinkle that with a pretty heavy dose of kindness.
Wow. That's good advice. Now you're with Cairo One. I happen to love Cairo One. I have seen tremendous results, but our listening audience may not know who Cairo One is and may not know how Cairo One is different than other chiropractic providers. Can you give us a little bit of information on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Cairo One Wellness Centers is a wellness-based network of chiropractic offices. So we're 78 clinics across three states. And there's a little bit of a difference between wellness-based chiropractic and more acute symptom-based chiropractic. Certainly we see all sorts of patients and people with myriad complaints, but our goal is to not just address and adjust for the acute pain or symptom, but to be able to have a deeper understanding of what is causing the pain or symptom, to address that, and then to optimize the individual's performance even more. So it's really more lifestyle and philosophy based versus just, you know, I've got a pinched nerve, can you fix that, and then be on your way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I know my husband and I have both seen great results going to Cairo One.
I'm so happy to hear that. That's great.
Yeah, we both of us have. So what is your, talking about branding now, so what is your vision as far as branding with Cairo One?
Well, it's huge. So our vision at Cairo One is that all human beings discover their full potential. And I mean, to some people who don't know us, you know, the way that you know us, Dan, that might sound a little lofty or a little pie in the sky at first, but it's an amazing vision. And I've been able to wholeheartedly get behind it. And so then my extension of that vision as CMO is to make sure that we're carrying out that corporate vision in a world-class branded way. And that means that we're able to penetrate new markets, that we're able to expand in a manner that allows us to impact more families and transform more lives, and really to assure that we continue in the vanguard of wellness in both in this U.S. market and abroad. So we really want to be, and we are, at the center of the changing face of health and wellness and being a part of that solution. So, you know, as you know, or you may not know, but there are countless markets and countries where chiropractic is relatively unknown. They've never heard of it. They don't really know what it is. So we have an opportunity to really go in and educate and enroll and transform lives all over the world. And from a market potential and a healthcare opportunity, it's just an amazing, it's an amazing thing when you think about the impact that this profession can have. And we've barely scratched the surface.
Wow. Sounds like an exciting opportunity.
Yeah, it really is.
Now, you're also adjunct faculty for the University of Chicago, right?
Yes, I am.
And what do you teach there?
So I teach a course to graduate students called Managing Integrated Marketing Communications, and it's an advanced course, and I absolutely love it. I've been doing it for a couple of years now. The courses are very intense, and my syllabus is particularly heavy. But I'm all about customer satisfaction. I want to make sure my students are really getting their money's worth. So I try to cram a lot into these terms, and my students are just so smart, and I think to myself, oh, my gosh, was I that smart when I was their age? And I'm pretty sure I know what that answer is, but it's really very satisfying to me because it gives me an opportunity, you know, four times a year that my course is offered in downtown Chicago at the university, to reach out and give back to young and upcoming marketers. And I think that we all have a responsibility to pay it forward and to give back to that community and to help younger marketers and younger executives who are coming up, and give them some of the more practical, real-world experience and lessons that we've garnered over the years versus just the theoretical that they're going to pick up in their books and in their case studies.
Wow. We have like 1 minute left before break again. Are there any last words or advice that you would have for our audience?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think females in the business place, what I would say is that we have to be particularly strong and smart and resourceful and really be purposeful and make good choices, both about the person and the executive that we want to become. And I'm just incredibly thankful for the mentors and the coaches that I've had and that I continue to have. I continue to reach out to them and to learn from them, right? Because we're always learning if we're smart. And I think that if we prioritize that and if we take time, and I know it sounds really cliche, but if we take time to sort of extend that hand or offer someone the coaching and the helping hand and the feedback and the honest conversation, have the sober, honest conversation so that someone, you know, can understand the reality, then I think that's time really well spent.
Wow. Time has just flown by. Sabrina, we're out of time, and I would like to thank you very much for coming on today's Inspiring Women. You have truly inspired us with your comments. So after break, stick with me. This is Deanne DeMarco with today's Inspiring Women, and our next guest is Lillian Bjorseth. Talk to you soon.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Want the inside scoop about what's going on in the social networks of art and entertainment? Tune in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4Talent.com. We'll talk to the top professionals in the entertainment industry and find out what they're working on and what's next. Your host is James Barber, who has his finger on the pulse of the arts and entertainment world. Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4Talent.com, live every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the Internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at DeanneDeMarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
This is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women. We are talking with Lillian Bjorseth in this segment of the show. Lillian, I have known for a while. Lillian is this bright and charismatic networking diva. She is Miss Networking. Lillian has worked and played politics in the corporate corner offices and in the trenches and has maneuvered in the entrepreneurial battlefield. She knows what it takes professionally to be a winner and how to build relationships that last. She is the networking expert. Her book is A Breakthrough Networking, Building Relationships That Last. Lillian is a graduate from the University of Missouri School of Journalism, and her Fortune 100 experience includes 11 years at AT&T, where she coached top executives in communication and media relations skills. Welcome, Lillian, to Today's Inspiring Women.
Thank you for having me, Deanne. It is my pleasure.
I'm glad you decided to come aboard on this show. You know, you started out with AT&T, and then you became an entrepreneur. How long have you been an entrepreneur?
For a little over 20 years.
I mean, to be a successful entrepreneur for 20 years, that is quite an undertaking. What were some of your biggest challenges as an entrepreneur?
Well, I'm just going to repeat the same word, marketing, marketing, marketing.
Ah, so is that, I know you are known for this verbal business card, and I know I have a printed business card, and I use that everywhere, and I always make sure I have 15 or 20 of them in my purse, my briefcase to hand out. But you have this thing called the verbal business card. Is that where that kind of comes about? Or tell us more about that.
Sure. Well, the verbal business card is something that you carry within you, if you will, because the verbal business card you explain through words, it's a spoken one. And a lot of people carry the printed card, but I'm, you know, disappointed to say not everyone, because I run into a lot of circumstances where people don't have their printed business cards with them because they've run out or so many, many myriad reasons, you know why. There's really never an excuse for you not to have the verbal business card, because as long as you can speak, you should be able to give your verbal business card. Now, having said that, that doesn't always work successfully for people either, because sometimes, you know, people start to say it, but they have oohs and ahs and ums, you know, in when somebody says, what do you say? That's one of the first things right out of the chute, Deanne, that you have to remove from your verbal business card. Because if you and ah when someone asks you what you do, you don't instill confidence in them.
So why do people need a verbal business card?
Why they need it is that it's what interests people in talking with you. And it lets people know quickly what's in it for them. And that's such a big thing, because when I hate to tell you this, but when people meet you, they really don't care that much about you. They care about what you can do for them. Or what you can do for people they know. And it also, the other thing is, it when you do it correctly, it helps you share with people in what I call lay language, easily understandable language, what you do. Because sometimes I talk with people, and after a few minutes, I still have no idea what they do. And that's a shame because you've wasted those, you know, vital few minutes in a conversation without people even knowing what you do. So the way I want you to envision a verbal business card is that you're fishing, and you have your line in the water, and you have a hook on that line, but you're missing one important ingredient. And what do you think that is to catch the fish?
The bait.
Absolutely. And so your verbal business card is your bait on your hook that reels people in to talk with you.
Okay. So is there just one type or one kind of verbal business card?
I've come up with three of them. And it's a process, by the way, that I did develop because people were having difficulty, you know, what I call succinctly articulating what they do. And so there are three of them I've come up with. One is the generic version. And the generic version is what you use when you're, let's say at a Chamber of Commerce luncheon, and you might be sitting with or meeting people who don't really understand your business. So it's a generic way in lay language to let them know what you do. The second version is the industry version, and that's when you're with people who do the same thing you do, you know, whether it's being a printer, an IT person, an engineer, and you can use jargon because people understand the jargon. And then the third version is the corporate or your company version, and that's particularly relevant if you work with a company that has multi offices, like I did with AT&T. You have certain lingo within the company that you can use when you meet people.
Can you give me an example of what a good verbal business card sounds like?
Sure. Let me share with you, in reality, a client that came to me, and of course I won't use his name, but he was a psychologist, and he was saying something, you know, like, I'm John, and I'm a psychologist. And he was trying to reach people in transition. So he said to them, I do stress management programs to help you get over the stress in your career, especially when you lose your job. And he said to me, Lillian, people are backing away from me rather than coming in to talk with me. So I asked a few people, you know, I gave them that card, and I said, what is it about it that would most turn you off? And interestingly enough, it was the word psychologist. Because people out of work, they didn't want to feel, you know, one of them said to me, gee, now I lost my job, now I got to go see a shrink. And so anyway, we changed it. And that was kind of an interesting situation because he was trying to convince his father that he could get this PhD, you know. And so I said, well, your psychologist on your card is your backup, if you will. It's your reinforcement. It's your credibility. But what we changed it for him to say is, I'm John, and I've developed a three-point program to help take your career to a new level.
Oh.
Interestingly enough, he also attracted people who were not out of work. Because people who were, you know, who had a job were also interested in learning how they could take their career to a new level. I also have another quick one from a woman. I did some work at Motorola, and so I said to her, you know, what do you do? And she said, I'm a software engineer. And I said, how many software engineers does Motorola have? And she said, a lot. So I said, why don't you share with me what you do? Well, it turns out after talking that what she did is she helped write software to help 9/11 dispatch officers do their job, which was much more informative than saying I'm a software engineer, because now I could identify with her, which I couldn't with a software engineer because I don't know much about software engineering. And I said to her, you could also say, you know, I help write software that could save your life. And she said, yeah, I'm not quite as comfortable with that. So the verbal business card has to suit your behavior or your personality style as well. One size doesn't fit all.
So are there certain components that must be included in a verbal business card?
Yes. I was listening to your previous interview and talking about, you know, how do you establish your brand. So this will be helpful to people because I'm actually going to give you, you know, a formula to write this verbal business card, or those first few words that are out of your, that come out of your mouth, if you will. What you want to include, first of all, first and foremost, is your name. Because even though people may know your name, they may forget it. You know, you can have a senior moment when you're 20. And the name just goes right out the, you know, the other end, if you will. So when any time you meet someone in a networking situation, you know, in any type of situation, you want to make it as easy for them as possible. So you repeat your name, or with a name like Bior Seth. I know that people don't necessarily know how to pronounce that. You know, they get confused with a J, et cetera. So you include your first and last name. You also then include what you do. Because people seldom say to you, they don't come up to you and say, who are you? How do you do what you do? They say, what do you do? Yet so many of us tell people who we are or how we do it. So you really need to work on the what. And to get to the what, you include a benefit. You know, people buy benefits. They don't buy features. You don't buy a stove because it's 3 feet high and it's white. Why do you buy a stove?
To cook on.
That's right. So what you want to find out from other people is, what is it you do that cooks their food? Because people don't like to eat sushi, you know, all the time. So when you can tell someone you've met how you can cook their food, they're going to be interested in talking further with you. So you have to have benefits in there, not features. And I do a whole, you know, series of exercises to help people understand the difference between benefits and features, because that can be difficult. And then the last ingredient, to get to benefits, you have to use active verbs, because they are the most powerful words in the English language. And if we go back to English, you know, I know you enjoyed English as much as I did. Mm-hmm. But I'm not talking about those linking verbs, you know, like is, are, was, were. I'm talking about words like create, you know, connect, educate, design, whatever it is you do that people can feel. Because then if you give them touchy-feely words, they can begin to identify with what you do.
Excellent. We have to break away here at this moment. This is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women, and we are speaking to Lillian Biorsath, who's helping us with build our brand through using a verbal business card. I'll come back to you in just a few minutes.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
If you are having difficulty balancing everything in your life, be sure to tune in to Change is Personal with Kim Fuller. Each week, we'll help you do your own self-assessment to handling relationships, family, life challenges, health, and personal goals. Kim and her guests share from experiences and offer advice and resources to keep your life on track. Change is Personal with Kim Fuller can be heard live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Listen and start having a fuller life.
How can we Americans realize our dreams to earn a living? How can you pursue your dream and make money as an owner or an employee? Learn how at The American Business Person, the online weekly radio talk show hosted by Rich Killian. Today's business leaders share how to succeed and what fails. If you own a new or established business or ever hope to, you must tune in. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Central, and noon Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel, or listen on demand to our archived shows.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings of the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com. That's DEANNE. At DeanneDeMarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
This is Deanne DeMarco with today's Inspiring Women, and we are speaking with Lillian Bjorsath, and today we're talking about building your brand. And Lillian is helping us with building our brand through using the verbal business card. And just before break, we talked about some of the things that must be included in the verbal business card. You talked about including your name, first name and last name, what you do, the benefits, and using action verbs. So those are all the things that need to be included in the verbal business card, correct, Lillian?
That's correct.
Okay, so what would be things that you would not want to include in the verbal business card?
Well, there are some that are marginal and then some that are no-nos. Marginal may be your company name. Unless your company name is well-known, like I was, you know, it was when I was with AT&T, I don't use my company name because now it's Dual Force Enterprises. People would, you know, stand there and wonder what a Dual Force is. You don't want to give them anything that might confuse them or take their attention away from what you're saying. Hmm. The company location is typically not important because the verbal business card is only about a sentence or two, and it only lasts 10 to 15 seconds. So you don't need to share with people where you're located, particularly if you're, you know, at a local event. You also stay away from adjectives and adverbs because they modify, and usually that modification is of your own design. You know, you're the best at this, you do this. You know how that turns people off. So you stay away from those most times. What you definitely stay away from is a company title. You don't introduce yourself as a trainer, as a speaker, you know, as someone who sells insurance, as an attorney. Because, in fact, research shows that if you say you're an attorney or if you're in insurance, people actually step away from you rather than into the conversation.
Really?
Because, yeah, people don't want to talk with you about insurance. So you have to tell people you help build a nest egg or you make sure, you know, you can educate your children. That type of thing, because that appeals to the person. But saying you sell insurance does not. And life insurance, and people think about dying or long-term care, those are not pleasant thoughts. So you have to work, if you're in a business like that, you have to work around those words. And another no-no is how you do it.
Give me an example of that.
The example of it, you know, in my business would be I help people build a new kind of wealth, social capital, by improving their networking and communication skills. That's what I do. How I do it is as a trainer, speaker, coach, you know. Mm-hmm. That doesn't say anything, because if I say I'm a trainer or a speaker, I haven't told the other person anything. I could be, you know, a personal trainer. I could be an animal trainer. I could be a software trainer. Mm-hmm. So you want to be more specific. So you stay away from that labeling and how you do it. And then, of course, you have to avoid industry jargon. That jargon that, you know, that one word you can say that encapsulates a whole thought when you're speaking with someone who understands it, but who mm-hmm. lets the person talk cold if they don't know what you're talking about.
Interesting.
And the reason you stay away from the how is that's the purpose of the whole verbal business card, is that it should elicit one question. And that is, how do you do, you know, what you do? If I say I help you build, you know, more social, a different kind of wealth, social capital, you should want to say to me, well, how do you do that? Or how do I build social capital? And that's the purpose of the verbal business card for people.
So they come back and ask you more questions.
Exactly. And then guess what? You now have permission. They've given you permission to tell them how you do it. And more about what you do. And hopefully you've stimulated their interest.
Sure. So that's the fishing analogy. So you throw your line in, you're giving them the bait, and then now they've taken the bait.
Yep.
So that's giving you permission for you to give them more information.
Exactly. So that you can hook them, if you will.
Oh, that is sweet.
And when you hook them, that means you're going to get business, or at least you're going to get an appointment.
Really good. So are there any situations that come into play with the verbal business card?
What do you mean, situations?
Well, is there, you may or may not include something depending on the type of situation that you're in?
Well, yeah, as I said, it depends on, you know, your audience. that generic audience, the company audience, the industry audience. You know, I gear mine. I use the generic a lot. I mean, obviously, when I'm working with groups who don't understand what I do, who aren't doing what I do, I use the generic one. So when I teach people that, I always teach them the generic one, because that's by far the hardest one to do, because that's where you have to put, you know, reduce it all to lay language. And it's really difficult to say what you do simply. And so, yet, you know, people, and there's so much going on when you first meet people and you're talking and, you know, the whole listening process, because people are thinking about other things or looking at you, you're, you know, the first impression, how are you acting, what do you have on, and all of that. So you have to make the words as simple yet as meaningful as possible so that when the interaction is over, you are memorable and meaningful.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So one of the things that you have written is this wonderful book called Breakthrough Networking, Building Relationships That Last, and it's in its third edition.
Yes.
That's very impressive.
Thank you.
What is that book about?
That has a myriad of networking tips. It has the process in there on the verbal business card. But when I speak about and think about networking, I think about it as what you do before the event, how you work the event, and what you do afterwards. And that's how the book is broken down. How do you prepare for an event? And an event can be a meeting. How do you then work it? So there's all sorts of tips about, you know, arriving early and the whole process of meeting people. I have a 10-minute rule, a networking rule. And I break that 10-minute rule down into an introduction, a body, and a conclusion. Mm-hmm. And then I have something else I created called an ask for question and listen for answer. Wow. The idea being that anytime you meet people, whether it be on an airplane or in a, you know, person to person at an event, you have questions you ask to determine if they are potential prospects for you or for someone you know. And then you listen to their answers, and by the way they answer, you will know. So if you use that process, you should never leave an interaction with another person without knowing whether that person is worth following up with for you.
Got a question for you. If people want additional help from on creating this verbal business card, can they call you or get coached from you?
They sure can.
All right. What is the best way for people to get hold of you?
The phone number is 630-983-5308. And my website is simply DuoForce, DuoForce.com.
And that was 630-983-5308. And that was at DuoForce, DuoForce.com.
Right. Or they can Google Lillian Bjorseth and they'll get thousands of entries.
Wonderful.
And all my information is there.
Great. Well, this segment just flew by again. Lillian, I would like to thank you very much for being part of today's Inspiring Women. The premium sponsor for today's Inspiring Women is Breaking Boundaries International. Breaking Boundaries provides coaching and training services to business professionals and organizations. They coach individuals breaking through the personal boundaries and career roadblocks so they may attain success. Breaking Boundaries provides coaching and trainings to organizations who want to create corporate cultures where people want to work. Breaking Boundaries International has won recognition from Training Magazine's Top 100 for their Management Coaching Clinic program. Their services include executive and personal coaching, corporate training for managers. They also provide motivational business speakers for your next business meeting or conference. They can be reached at www.breakingboundaries.com or 866-91-COACH. As we're wrapping up this session, I want to give you a quote from Ellen DeGeneres, which I happen to love. She says, "Sometimes you can't see yourself clearly until you see yourself through the eyes of others." This is Deanne DeMarco with today's Inspiring Women. Until next time, have a wonderful week. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Today's Inspiring Women. Please join host Deanne DeMarco and other entrepreneurial and business leaders next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Have an outstanding week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.